So the gravity of what's happening in our government in this nation is kind of overwhelming some days, often more days, lots of days. And I don't really feel the need to recount any of that. I think if you've been following the news, you're rightly concerned, maybe even a little scared, which I think is also a correct emotion in these days. But against that backdrop, this context that we're living in, it might feel a little odd today that I want to reflect on humility. But I think if we're to face the problems that we need to face, we need a strong foundation to stand on. We need God to guide us, to nurture us, to sustain us, to strengthen us, to give us courage. And as a follower of Jesus, I can't think of anything better than to turn to what he taught about walking in this world according to God's way, the way of love. And so I'm going to continue to reflect as we lead up in towards Lent. I'm going to continue to reflect on some of the teachings of Jesus that we find in the Sermon on the Mount, in the hopes that they will sustain us as we make our way through difficult times. And so the last couple of weeks, we heard Jesus teaching us to live for others, to open our hearts, living with blessed attitudes, released from the deepest parts of our nature, coming from the heart. His teaching about humility is really, I think, just an expansion of those ideas, because we can't truly live in these ways without humility. As I look into the world and see these rich billionaires desperately grabbing for more power and going to such extremes to secure more wealth and seeking more fame, it seems like a lot of the problem comes down, at least in part, to the fact that so many people value power and wealth and fame more than they value living beings. Much of humanity seems to have been afflicted with a hubris that is kind of startling. I mean, we've reached a point where people call empathy a sin, where some, like the vice president, have invented a version of the gospel at odds with Jesus, where love and respect only get doled out to those in their inner circle. And they don't want to relate to or work with other people, but instead they seek control over them. They see them as resources and tools to be spent or wasted instead of as sacred living beings to be treasured. The more someone is different, the more they go out of their way to tear them down as less than. The lower they push someone else, the better they feel about themselves. The lower they push others, the harder it is for anyone to get the power and the wealth that they believe is rightly theirs. And really, they're only acting according to how we've defined success in our culture, because we define it by how much power and wealth and fame one has. And if you have it all, then clearly you're better than anyone else. That's what the culture tells us. And if you're better than everyone else, then no one else really matters. You can treat them however you want. That's kind of become the American way these days, a way of division and fear and anger. And by the way, that's my not going into all the gritty details. This American way, whatever it's become, is not God's way, though. The way of love is God's way. The way of peace is God's way. The way of justice is God's way. And the question is, which way do we want to follow? And it isn't just a problem of the rich and powerful. That's kind of the extremes that we're seeing, but we all face that temptation of building ourselves up at the expense of others. A lot of the support for those causing so many issues in our country right now, I think, comes from people who see those leaders' actions as permission to indulge in the same bad behavior themselves. And that can be an issue for all of us. We all want to impress others at times, at least, to score points so we can get a promotion, to attract other people to us, to soothe our loneliness. And of course, praise isn't always a bad thing. It can be valuable and important feedback It helps us know that we're making a positive impact on the world. But sometimes we just seek praise to be praised. Jesus talks about it in terms of reward in today's scripture. Those who build themselves up and put themselves above others get their reward in the form of that fleeting praise and temporary admiration. And is that what we want? Because I think that's really all the empty meaning that power and wealth and fame have to provide. And Jesus points out that if we're giving to charity, for example, in order to make ourselves look good, that doesn't really bring us closer to God, because it comes from a place of selfishness. But true meaning in life, a full, rewarding life, is found in unity with God, in deep relationship with the sacredness of all living beings. And that really does require humility. It means recognizing that every living being is equally worthy of love. It means when we give out of love and not to seek praise, because there is no hierarchy of love in God's eyes, but all life is valuable and just as worthy as any other life. And when we have humility, not only recognizing but revering the value of life other than our own, then we're able to build real and meaningful relationships with each other and with nature and with God. Power and wealth turn from things to hoard out of selfishness to things to be shared out of love. And perhaps if we want to break out of our human selfishness and learn humility, one thing that we need to do is redefine how we think about our success, what it means to be successful. Because success as power and wealth leads to violence and oppression. The relentless pursuit of ever-increasing quarterly profits leads us to use up our natural resources at unsustainable rates, to exploit nature, the earth that God gave us as our home. The concept of success as power and wealth mocks God and our relationship with God. You may recall the story in the Bible that, when some of the disciples were arguing about who among them was the greatest, Jesus called them together and, indicating a child playing nearby, said, "Whoever welcomes a child such as that one with respect and honor, that little child who has no standing and no authority, if you welcome that child, then you also welcome me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not just me, but the one who sent me, the one I serve. Whoever would be greatest must be a servant to all, even to that little child." And so what if we measured success not by power and wealth, but how well we answered God's call to live for others? By how well we opened our hearts to live in love, taking on those blessed attitudes. One thing I think we'd struggle with, if success were defined by our willingness to answer God's call and become our authentic loving selves, is that everyone's call is unique to them. It wouldn't make sense anymore to compare ourselves. The idea of being better than someone, the notion that, well, I'm more authentic and loving than you are, doesn't make any sense. We can't measure such a thing. Only God and I can really decide whether I'm successful or not by that definition. I think many people would find not being able to compare themselves to someone else a challenge. But man, I think it would be good for us. It would teach us humility. It would teach us the value of all living things. It would help us build relationships. Ultimately, when we find real meaning in life is when we find the loving and supportive relationship that God desires for us. In the book of the prophet Micah, God has taken care of the people and watched over them. And they ask, well, what does God want from us in return? Sacrifices? What if we sacrifice our calves, rams, give our oil, our firstborn? And Micah responds, God has already made clear what God desires. God does not want a show. God doesn't need to be impressed or bribed or placated. Those aren't reasons one makes a sacrifice. What God wants is for God's people to treat each other justly, everyone treated fairly and equitably, and to love kindness, to be kind to each other, to be kind to animals and to the earth, to revere and nurture all life, and to walk humbly with God, not to put ourselves above God or others or nature, but to recognize our unity, to recognize the value of all living things, taking time to listen, to respect others, to build relationship. Humbly walking with God and living in justice and kindness are God's way of love. It's all about living for others humbly from the heart. This is what Jesus thought was important to teach people in a world where they felt domination and oppression of an authoritarian government. The Roman occupiers were a constant threat in the lives of the people of Israel. So maybe this message of humility is important for us too. A chance to take a step back and think about what we truly value in life. Think about what's important. What is success? Is it power and wealth? Or is it becoming our most loving, authentic self? Do we put ourselves above others, or do we follow Jesus, walking humbly when he says to love everyone, neighbor and enemy alike? God calls us to love and support each other, not for rewards, but because it's the right thing to do. God calls us to work for peace and justice, not so we'll look good, but because it's what God wants for us, for all of us, every last person and animal and plant on this earth, without exception. And that means you too, each of us seated here today and on Zoom today, because you are all also God's beloved. May God bless you and remind you often that you are loved as you follow Jesus on the path of kindness, justice, and humility. Amen.